Hello everyone. What's up? My name is Tinky Bell here and it is Sunday, meaning that it is Anime Review Sundays, and I am so happy and excited because I finished Guilty Crown. Well, I didn't exactly finish Guilty Crown. I want to say that I really only finished what I call part 1 because I did kind of finish episode 13 and I'm going off into episode 14, and so I'll talk more about that later, but I am starting to watch a little bit more of anime so I can go ahead and I can post a lot more anime reviews and I can get my anime knowledge all well and strong or whatever. The first recording before this was actually pretty simple, honestly. But besides that, I'm definitely going to be talking about my opinions and, of course, how I feel about the plot, well, plot A, the characters, and everything that basically has gone, that goes in. So let's go ahead and get started. First thing is first, I do want to say that I am going to be splitting this off into two parts. This is going to be part one of Guilty Crown because, like I said, I kind of finished with plot A, and I'm getting ready to watch plot B of Guilty Crown, which starts from, I believe, episode 14 to episode 22. So this will be very, very interesting. And then I'll just go ahead and say what I feel like needs to be fixed or what they could have done and all the other. So let's go ahead. How did I get into Guilty Crown? I've never really heard of Guilty Crown. I think I've only watched two AMVs that's shown Guilty Crown, like just with the characters, but I've never really heard of Guilty Crown. I've only got into Guilty Crown because I was surfing through Hulu and I saw that there's a lot of anime on my anime list. There was just a lot of anime in my Hulu list that I have not watched, and it was just sitting there for a very long time. So I decided, I said, you know what, I need to go back into anime. I need to watch anime. So I am just going to go ahead and watch whatever my vibe I feels for. And Guilty Crown was the first ever vibe I gotten. And I found it really interesting. And when I did do a little bit more research for Guilty Crown, there were a 50-50 between the reviews. Some people say they don't like it. Some people say they do like it. So I wanted to make my very own opinion to see, okay, well, I want to see what this series is about for myself and share it to you guys, obviously. So let's go ahead and let's get started. Oh, before we get started, again, update 2.0. I'm super sorry if I have not been posting anything for this week. School has been keeping me really busy, and besides school, my mom's and my friend's birthday is coming up, especially Mother's Day. I've been planning their gifts for a while and I'm currently working on it. Plus, I haven't really made an OC. I haven't really finished a lot of my OCs. I do need to go back and finish them, which I plan on doing after I finally see that there is a, hopefully tomorrow, and I can just finish all of that so I can get prepared for this Tuesday. But without further ado, let's go ahead and let's get started. So I talked about how I got into Guilty Crown, which I just repeated. So I talked about how I got into that. Let's talk about, you know, let's just talk about, you know, the anime opening real quick. I love the anime opening. This is something that I'm starting to notice with anime openings, and I really do enjoy them. I feel like an anime opening, if done right, tells kind of the theme of what the anime is about. Guilty Crown's anime opening, I believe it's My Dearest. So the anime opening for Guilty Crown is called My Dearest. I'm actually going to see if I can actually find my, I feel too lazy to actually search for it, but I believe it's My Dearest, and it's a really good anime opening if I really have to be honest. I was really, like, as soon as I heard this anime opening, I was instantly mouthing off the lyrics as soon as I got to episode 2, because the opening it's beautiful, and it tells a really, it tells, it doesn't, it kind of tells how the characters kind of feel in this very post-apocalyptic world. So the opening is actually, you know, very, very, very enjoyable. It's like one of the top anime that I would most likely download and listen to on repeat. So, oh man, I love that opening. I just realized I haven't even talked about what is basically the synopsis of Guilty Crown. So basically, the story revolves around Shu Oma, a high school boy who inadvertently obtains an ability called Power of the King that enables him to draw out items called voids from other people. He is then thrown into a conflict between the quasi-governmental organization known as GHQ and a resistance organization called Funeral Parlor, which aims to restore Japan's independence from the GHQ. In the process, Shu has to deal with the burden of his ability put on his shoulders and the horrific mystery of his past. Thank you, Wikipedia, because I could not explain that by myself. And like I said, this is not a bad anime. The anime opening is really good. Okay? I'm actually going to stop talking about the anime opening. And I want to just talk about Guilty Crown in general. If you, because of the whole entire quarantine thing, I feel like a lot of people will love and appreciate this anime in some way, because it makes sense. You know, there's this infection virus that's basically going on, and a lot of people, you know, all the people who are sick has to be contained. And if you really think about it, that's the same thing that's going on today, which I love the irony of it all. We have to all stay indoors and be contained, which is personally why I really do like this series. But like I said, the reviews of this series was basically a 50-50. And I'm going to talk more about that in the end. I just want to reiterate that. And I'm going to stop talking about the end. For some reason, I really want to discuss the anime opening. But I'll probably discuss it more later. But I really want to talk about the plot. You don't really get into the plot of this series until, like, I want to say around episode 2. I want to say, not even episode 2. I want to say around, I want to say episode 2. When you first get into this anime in episode 1, you are literally just thrown into it. No exposition, no nothing. You're just thrown into it. It's just like, hey, surprise, I'm here with no other explanation, so just enjoy. When I first saw this, I literally had to lean back because I was so confused. I had no idea what was going on. And the fact that it just threw me into it, I was like, all right, okay. Well, then I hope it can explain that in the next episode, which is episode 2. In episode 2, I want to say nearing like the end, you kind of get a gist of what is kind of going on. A little bit. You get a little bit of what's going on, but you're still sitting there confused. And when you kind of get into episode 3, that's when you really see the main point of the plot. Like, you're finally getting some plot involved. You're like, okay, so this is what the story is coming into. So episode 1, 2, and the first half of 3, it literally, like I said, it just throws you in there in confusion. You just kind of have to go along with what is and just hope and pray that it's able to explain it to you. And when it does explain it to you, it does actually engages you in to the point where you wonder, I wonder what's going to happen next. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like you, it's kind of cliche. And you know, just the entire action sequence and of how Shu, our main character, feels with everything, you kind of get a feel for him, because in his position, I don't know if this is going to be a spoiler warning or not, but I'm thinking it's not going to be for once. For once, I'm not giving out spoilers, but like, when you finally see Shu's position, You kind of have this, in his position, you kind of feel for him. If you've ever been in a position where, you know, you you want to do the right thing, but you realize that you're joining a group of, like, you're joined, but, how can I explain this? Because I'm stumbling over my words. Okay, I'll explain it this way. So with Shu, because he has this ability of the power of the king, Funeral Parlor, the leader of Funeral Parlor, Guy, obviously he sees him like, listen, you can help us out, but Funeral Parlor is known as a terrorist group, quote unquote, terrorist group, when really they're just a group of people who wants to help help Japan's independence. And Shu is kind of in this position where he wants to help Funeral Parlor, but at the same time, he kind of just wants to live his life without having, you know, this supernatural ability. He wants to live his life without being a part of any group. You know, he feels like he doesn't have a place, and he's scared that he won't have a place in Funeral Parlor. And if you've ever been in Shu's position, that makes sense, because I've been in Shu's position before. There's been many moments where I want to join a group, or I see this group that looks super duper fun, but I'm too scared to join because I'm afraid I don't fit in. And I felt that way for a very, very long time. Key point, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of anime topics where I can find a character I can really relate to, and I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be a main character. But that little haha side note joke aside, if, like I said before, if you've ever been in Shu's position, you will kind of see, like, okay, the decision you're making is not a bad decision. The decision you are thinking about making is a tough decision, because you want to help, but at the same time, you kind of want to stay in your lane. And I appreciate that in that plot, you know, because you're really focused on, you're focusing more on Shu's point of view throughout the entire series. But there are moments where you get to see, like, Inori and Guy's, like, little perspectives on stuff. But you're really mainly focused on Shu. Oof. So, besides a little plot, am I also missing something? The characters. So, the characters are not annoying. This is probably the first anime I have ever watched where none of the characters have annoyed me. Like, there's not even, like, every character has their point. Every character has their lines, and they say their lines, and that's it. I'm not gonna say that they're really memorable characters. There's only, like, a few memorable characters, but at the same time, even the background characters, or, you know, just characters who are not as important, but they kind of are, the way that the voice actors portrayed them makes you think, oh, I will love to see more of you. Or I can't find the word, but they definitely excel those characters to a good point. Hopefully all of that made sense after all the dumb stumbling I just said. Water. But yeah. So, like, for example, Guy, he's the leader of Funeral Parlor. You really don't know much about Guy, but you can tell that he's a very complex leader. He definitely doesn't want to put none of his team in danger, but he does know the situation where if we're going to be independent, lives are going to be lost. So, you can definitely see how he doesn't want to put anyone in danger, but he doesn't have any personal, well, he does have a personal goal, but it's not to the point where he's letting his personal goal overcloud anything else that's important. You know, he has his goal where he wants to save Japan for his independence, and then he has his personal goal, and he cares about his personal goal, but he really cares more about, I just need Japan to have independence. That's all I care about. My personal goal can wait, even though it's connected. It can wait, because I'm going to get there at some point. And that's what I love about Guy. He's not a jerk. He's not an a-hole. He's not a jackass. He's incredibly... I can't find my words right now. But he's a very respectful character. very, very respectful. And I appreciate that with Guy. Of course, you also have Sagumi. I thought she was going to be like her and Ayase. I thought those were going to be the only two characters that I won't like. Now, Sagumi and Ayase are somewhat the same, but they're different. They don't get a lot of screen time, but they do get enough screen time for you to know who they are. And the thing that I absolutely love about Sagumi and Ayase is that they have like this sort of, you don't really see the relation with those two, and that's like the downside with these characters. I don't know why I'm talking about the upsides, but I really gotta talk about the downsides, which also connects to the reviews. You get some character development, but you don't get any of the character development with as individuals. You only get the character development with them as a group, which I absolutely adore. At least I'm getting character development, but I would love to see how each of them individually got into Funeral Parlor and how they became who they are today. That is something I definitely will love and adore to see with Guilty Crown, but sadly, I didn't see this in Part A. I didn't see this at all, and it didn't frustrate me, but I didn't care about it that much, but I was curious from time to time, like, I wonder how Ayase got into her wheelchair. I wonder if she really, if she wanted to join Funeral Power because of Guy, or was it a whole other different? I wonder how Sagumi was able to come into Funeral Parlor. Does she have any connections? The downside with the characters is that you don't get to see them grow individually. You kind of just see them grow as a big group, which I'm proud of. But like I said before, I wish we had more individual character development. Let's see, we also have Inori. Now, Inori, she's the first female, like I said before, none of these characters annoyed me. None of the male characters and none of the female characters. Honestly, I enjoy the female characters, and this is the first anime that I've ever had enjoyed a female character. Out of all the animes I have watched, there's always been a female character that annoyed me so much, and I just had to point out, like, this character annoyed me. Like, Toka annoys me from Tokyo Ghoul. Chiyo and Emi annoys me from Devil is a Part-Timer. Integra and sometimes Ceres kind of annoys me from Helsing. Let's see, what else? Like there are certain types of animes out there. Terahashi or Kakomi from Disastrous Love Asaka K, like, she annoys me. There's always a female character that irritates me, but these female characters, they don't, because they're actually quite enjoyable. They're really funny, and even when you think they're annoying, it's like, well, you're not that irritating. You're not, even when you think they're annoying, you really can't be mad at them, because they have their own personal reason to be annoyed with them, with the person. And, like, their actions are basically kind of, their actions are very explained of why they do things. But back to Inori. Inori's adorable. I would love to cosplay as Inori. I love her style of clothing. I love the fact that she's so very caring towards everybody. And I just like her. Like, she's not, she doesn't, although I will admit that Inori, like, she does things, but at the same time, it's like she's just kind of there. I haven't watched, like, Part B of this series, so I don't really know. I'm just going off of what I did watch. But like I said, out of, like, Part A, Inori's there, but at the same time, Inori is just like, I'm kind of just here. I'm useful. I can shoot a gun. I have, like, my own little void as a sword. I'm powerful, but at the same time, she's kind of like the baby of the group. If you've ever watched, like, a TV show, or you read, like, a fan fiction or a book where, or just even in another anime, where the main character is, like, really, really important, and there's a character that's really important and they're in like a big organization and everyone kind of treats that character like the baby, but to the point where they have more respect, where they're not teasing her or anything. There's like, hey, how's it going? This person is, you know, really powerful. We have to keep watch. That's basically Inori. Like, she isn't... like, she's adorable. That's all I have to say. She's really adorable. Gojikan really is kind of hard to really review, actually. That or just, it's been so long since I've done an anime review that it's absolutely ridiculous. Let's see. Then you have, of course, like, Shu's friends from school, like Hara and Soichi, or I think it's Yohime. I think that's his name. But Shu's school friends, you don't really see that much of them. Like, you don't really see that much of them because majority of like this of part A, you're really focused more on Funeral Parlor, so you don't really see much of Shu's friends. And when you do, you kind of forget that he actually has friends. You do kind of, like, throughout this entire series, when I watched it and I realized she was going back to school, I would think, like, oh yeah, I totally remember. You are his friend. You are his friend. You're an entire group. And you get introduced to people, you're just thinking to yourself, okay, where did you come in? Like, that's the downside, and I kind of understand why people have a problem with the characters. There's not a lot of character development. You do get introduced to all of these characters, and you do kind of get introduced to, you know, like, how their roles into the story, but you don't exactly know how they got to where they are. How they got there. You don't know why they are important. You don't know what makes them a big deal. And that's the thing that this show kind of lacks. It lacks the explanation about why this character is important. And when it does tell a character is important, they're usually important just for their voids. And that's really it. It's like you're really just there just to sort of be used. I mean, yes, you're being used for a good cause, but you're really just being there just to be used. And there's really just no point for you. That's really just, like I said, a downside to this entire character thing. And then, of course, you have the villains. I really do love, like, most of the villains in this story because... that's the thing, man, about this series. Like, now that I'm actually thinking about it, there's no character development. It's like this series, you know. When I first started watching this series, you know, I watched this with a very open mind, and I wanted to see, you know, how exactly, like, this... I was super excited because this is the first time I've gotten so far on my anime list that I have watched everything I've watched for this long. And I'm being dedicated to it. So I'm really, really excited. And every time a new character just got added into the storyline, you know, I never once thought in my brain, like, why is this character so important? Like, I was completely, like, I want to say absent-minded, but I was completely just, like, oblivious, I'm going to use for now, to the fact that, you know, I'm not looking for a lot of character plot or character development. You know, the visuals of this series and the music of this series, the characters, I feel like they did really good. I feel like they did very well. And It was something I never really thought of. But now that I'm actually sitting here thinking about it and I'm letting it kick in, there really is no character development. You don't know why this one character is important. You don't know why this one character... you understand why the character is doing it in the first place, but they give you just like a reason for it, and then the show just kicks it into high gear. You know, it's just like, oh, this character is for this, he's the villain, there you go. Take it or leave it. Another thing that this, like, for example, there was just one character nearing like the end of the series that takes away Inori, and you know, you're just thinking to yourself, like, this person got introduced, but you're thinking to yourself, who is this character? Why is this character important? Why is this character here? Why, how did he get here? You're like, you know, I really wish that the show would do that, but it just doesn't. It just doesn't. But the show kicks it off anyway. The characters aren't annoying. No, there's just a lot of whatever. Hopefully when I talk about the reviews, it kind of explains a little bit more for me. But, and then of course, you have the visuals. Like I said, the visuals are absolutely amazing. You know, when you finally watch like the opening, though, the visuals are beautiful. The ending, the visuals are beautiful. When it talks about the voids, the background, you know, when disaster hits, it looks beautiful. And I love that about this anime. I currently have like most of the wallpaper downloaded on my computer because it's, you know, the, like I said, the visuals are beautiful. That's the one thing about anime that I love. The visuals. If the visuals are done right, you know what? Checkpoint, you get an A. You automatically get an A. Is there anything else I am missing? I talked about the characters. I talked about the visuals. The action. The action is great action. Like, it's definitely epic. You really, this is like the type of action where you're like sitting on the edge of your seat. Like, I wonder what's gonna happen. I wonder whose void shoe's gonna pull out, or what is this person's void? Cause that was going through my mind every single time. Like, they talked about a character's void, I really was thinking, oh, I wonder who this character's void is. I wonder what this character's innermost heart manifest into, because that's what a void is. Your void is kind of like who you are in the inside as it manifests. So for Inori, because she's kind of, I actually don't know how to explain it, but kind of like Hara, because Hara is very kind-hearted, she cares a lot about people. This is Shu's like best like schoolmate, by the way. And because she's just very overall caring and protective, her innermost heart, her void, is nothing but bandages that can help anyone recover. And I thought that's really, really cool. I love that part. Of course, you have mechs, and if you're really into mechs, you get that in like mostly a lot of scenes. So if you're into mechs, have fun with that. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is basically the ending song, Departures. It is really, really beautiful. Like, oh my gosh. Like, oh man. Departures are a really beautiful song. And personally speaking, I definitely would say, like, if you are somebody who is definitely into, like, anime openings and endings, these songs are for you, because they're absolutely beautiful. I basically know mostly every single word from the opening, My Dearest. And with the ending, I know most of the lyrics for Departures too. So, and like I said, I'm into part B, which is, so I'm gonna be listening to Everlasting Guilty Crown. Obviously, and then of course I gotta listen to Kokuhaku by Supercell. So this is also gonna be really interesting to kind of listen to. And that's kind of like my review that I've been talking for about 29 minutes for. But now we're gonna get to like one of the big problems that I have with the series, besides the character development. That is the fact that I felt like they should have ended season 1 with 13 episodes. You know what I mean? I feel like if you watch Guilty Crown and you watch it on Hulu, Guilty Crown has only one season, and that season is 22 episodes. I've done research if maybe Hulu did something wrong, because I thought I swore it had two seasons. But no, Guilty Crown has one season, and it's going to have its second season in fall of 2021. So, my thing is this. Okay, this is my thing. The fact that they made, the way they ended off Guilty Crown on episode 13 was fine. I feel like they shouldn't have continued it. You know, they shouldn't have continued it. They shouldn't have continued it. The way that it ended was beautiful. It was heartfelt. I nearly cried at the end. It was very, very beautiful. When I finally started watching, like, just part of, like, the prologue of episode 14, where it kind of talks about, it's been 2 weeks ever since the disaster, I said, what? we're continuing on with the storyline, even though it could have ended. And that's the thing right there. I feel like episode 14 to 22, that should have been season 2. That should have been season 2, and it should have ended, you know? Season 1, bam. Season 2, bam. If they want to make a season 3, they can make a season 3. But the fact that you're continuing on with everything from a season 1, it didn't sit right with me. It didn't. Because now I feel like you're forcing the storyline to continue. And that's what I'm feeling as I'm first watching this episode. I feel like, okay, you're forcing me the plot now. Okay, I was full from the first 13 episodes. But now you're forcing me to eat again, and for what exactly are you doing it for? I don't know. That's just me. Maybe I may like the next season. The next one. But we're going to be talking about the reviews now. And that's something I really just wanted to discuss, because I could not understand for the life of me, why did a lot of people not like Guilty Crown in the beginning? And I did some research on the review, and on my anime list, it has a 7.6 out of 10. On TV.com, I don't know if people do that or not, it has an 8.2. And on IMDb, yeah, it has 7.1 out of 10. So this, and obviously Google users, 94% of people like this show. So honestly, I want to say Guilty Crown has a 50-50% of its fandom. There are some people who don't like it. There are most people who do like it. And I was going over, I just want to see, like, what is the anime reviews on this series and everything. And people have said, like, the pacing is basically a repeat of everything. Shu feels sorry for himself. Shu has romantic troubles. Shu has superpowers. Shu and his terrorist group go on a mission. It's a rinse and it's a repeat. People have also said, like, the characters, there's no character development. They don't all go together. They're all combined into one. Like, a lot of people, like, people have said that this is a cliche, and you know, people have said, like, it was really, really cool. So, like, people have been saying that this anime is just all over the place. Like, some people are saying, like, it's a cliche. Like I said, I already said it before. This is what happens when you talk for like 34 minutes, guys. You start running out of ideas. Plus, I recorded this thing like 3 times. But, you know, I personally, you know what, everyone has their reviews. I really do think there's really nothing wrong with Guilty Crown. My review is Guilty Crown's really good. There's no point into bashing Guilty Crown. And yeah, I mean, I do feel like the characters need to be developed a little bit more. But maybe, you know, when I finally watch like 14 through 22, maybe it will change, you know? Maybe the characters do, you maybe do get more of an understanding. But that's just kind of my review for part one. I may possibly do a double. I know I keep repeating a double upload, which is something I really need to do. But I may possibly do a double upload tonight if I finished 22. And hopefully I do, because it's already 5:25. But yeah, that's kind of my review for now. And I hope you guys enjoy just me rambling on and stuttering like Porky the Pig. Anyway, I love you guys, and I hope everyone's having an amazing day. Tinkerbell out.